Welcome to City Harvest Sermon Podcast. Coming up is a word from Pastor Kong Hee.
We are doing this series on the kingdom of God. God is the king who rules and reigns over the invisible realm called heaven. And really, that is the original kingdom of God. The Bible calls it the kingdom of heaven, the king and his domain. So tonight, I want very quickly, you just go to the very beginning, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness." Now, the word image really refers to, or it means the external physical form. So man resembled God outwardly. Adam was like a photograph of God, a photograph image. So man was created in his visible resemblance. Now, but not only that, he was also created in his likeness. That means similar inner nature. God is a spirit. Man is a spirit, right? God is sovereign. Man has free will. God is able to create. We are creative. God is able to foresee the future. Well, we have the power of imagination. So inwardly and outwardly, we are the exact copy of God. We are the exact copy of the Lord. Then God said this, "Let them have dominion." Now, this word dominion is a powerful word. It means to be a kingly ruler over a territory. Now, not just being a king, but to be a kingly ruler. Now, to be kingly means you got to see yourself as a king. You have to have the confidence of a king. Now, notice God didn't say, "Let us have dominion." God said, "Let them have dominion." Now, God, by saying that, delegated all rulership and management over to man for the control of this whole earth. He established mankind as the only legal authority on earth with the power of attorney to act on his behalf. God did that. This was the power given to man to represent the kingdom of God, the government of God here on the earth. Now, please understand this. Man had rulership, but not ownership. God is still the owner. That is why the Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, right? Psalms 24 and verse 1. And there was a boundary to man's rulership. And this may be something new for you, so listen carefully. It was dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Now, notice, God gave man dominion over all the earth and all his creation on it, but he didn't give man dominion over other men. God didn't give man dominion over the rest of the people. So we are all created to rule, not to be rude. We are all created to govern, not to be governed. We are designed to manage, not to be managed. That is why Jesus tells us this, and you read this in the gospel, we are not to rule and lord over others. Let me show you the scripture, right? Matthew chapter 20 and verse 25. Jesus called them to himself and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles," that means the ruler of this world, the people without God, "they lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you." It shall not be so among people of God. "But whoever desires to become great among you," nothing wrong to aspire greatness, "let him be your servant." Come on, talk to me. Let him be your what? Servant. "Whoever desires to be great, let him be your servant." In case they miss it, Jesus repeated himself a few chapters later, Matthew 23, verse 11. But he who is greatest among you shall be your, talk to me, servant. That means the kingdom of God is really a kingdom of kings. The kingdom of God is not a kingdom of servants. It's not a kingdom of slaves. It's a kingdom of kings. In fact, it's a kingdom of servant kings, or kings that serve. Kings that serve. Now, God's original purpose is not just that one king and everyone subjects. One king and all are slaves. We are all rulers and kings, all of us, under God. Every person in this place here is a king. And God, the King of the universe, is your heavenly Father. You know what that makes you? A prince. That makes you a princess. And because he's still the owner of everything, everything on it and in it, well, he's the King of the universe. And it is a kingdom of kings. All ruling and all governing this earth, this world, together. Loving one another, serving one another, not lording over each other, not bullying one another, oppressing one another. You know, Singapore was formerly a British colony. For 144 years, we were all servants of the royal crown. My dad used to tell me that during the British era, you can work very hard, but you can never reach the very top. You can work very hard, the most you go is middle management. Because we'll always be servants to our colonial masters. My dad grew up in the era. I remember even as a kid, when I was very young, there were hotels I couldn't go in. There were social clubs I couldn't enter because it was only reserved for English men and ladies. So if you're not white and you're not from the British, or you're not from Britain, you cannot enter in. Now, in all fairness, they were benevolent masters, but masters nonetheless. They were benevolent, but they were still our masters. God's kingdom is very, very different from earthly kingdom. It has no subjects, no slaves, only sons. Only sons and daughters, okay? John chapter 1, verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God. Everybody say out loud, say, I'm a son or a daughter of God. Come on, just say it right now. You can't say I'm a son or a daughter. So if he's the king, that makes you, if you're a son, you're a prince. If you are a daughter, you are a princess. So all of us are royalty. So will you please turn to somebody on your left, on your right, if the person is a male or female, come on, you have common sense. Just say, you are a prince or you are a princess. Come on, just say that right now. So we are a kingdom of kings. How many kings do we have in this place? Yeah? Kings and queens. Not subjects, not slaves. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. Now, the Amplified Bible says you will reign as kings in life. So, you are a king, you are a queen in this kingdom. I'm a king in this kingdom. But you cannot be a king without a domain. You can't be a king without a territory to rule and reign over. Adam was a king, but he was also a lord, small l, because he was given property rights. He was given the license to rule under God, right? Now, Matthew chapter 5, verse 5, remember Jesus' greatest sermon. And he made an amazing statement. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Can you see that? The promise. is to inherit the earth, not to inherit heaven. Heaven is not our destiny. Our eternal destiny is to inherit the earth. You see, the earth is our inheritance. The earth is where we are kings and queens to rule over. Psalm 115, verse 16, it says, "The heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the children of man." He has given to you and I. God has given the earth to Adam and all mankind. And in Christ Jesus today, as redeemed sons and daughters of God, once again, the earth is part of our inheritance and part of our destiny, now and forever. Forever and ever, even into eternity. Now, Jesus, our Redeemer, he came to restore us back to our original purpose, to be kings, small k, and to be lords, small l. That means when you read the Bible, and the Bible says, like for example, Revelation chapter 19, Jesus Christ is the King of kings, and he's the Lord of lords. Please do not think, oh, that means he's the king of every prime minister, every president, every monarch that is out there, because most of them are not even Christians to begin with. He is not their king. He is our king. When he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords, that means he's the king of all of us because we are kings and lords under God. Come on, give the Lord a big clap. Hallelujah. Oh, you want to clap tonight? Let's give the Lord a big clap. Hallelujah. Everybody say out loud, say, "In Christ, I'm a king and a Lord." Turn to your neighbor and say, "You are a king and a Lord." So you got to learn to think like kings. You got to have the confidence of kings and queens. You got to lay hold of the spirit and the attitude of kings. And you got to learn how to be kingly. How to be kingly. And we are servant kings. But that doesn't mean we are servile. To be servile means you're always eager to please. You're eager to serve with no sense of any self-respect. That's not how it's supposed to be. You see, you don't demean yourself. You don't allow yourself to be trampled over like a doormat. You are kings that serve, but you serve with dignity. So as a believer, Jesus came to redeem us and to redeem our dignity in God. Somebody say amen. Amen. So you need to recognize tonight who you are in Christ. As citizens of the kingdom, as children of the kingdom, sons and daughters of the King of the universe. Unfortunately, man fell into sin. So Satan tempted Eve. Satan said to Eve, "You know what? You can be like God. If you eat of this fruit, you can be like God." There's a problem here. She was already like God. She was the exact copy of God. You are an exact copy of God. You see, in her image, in her likeness. So what did the devil do? Satan attacked her with the weapon of self-doubt. And every single day, he has not changed. He attacked you and I with the same thing. You know why? God doesn't love you. If God loves you, why are you going through this? If God loves you, why are you not healed? If God loves you, why are you still poor? And he wants us to struggle in our image. So we struggle with low self-image, low self-esteem. We struggle with low self-worth. We feel we have no value. We don't feel good about ourselves. So we think of ourselves as losers instead of winners, as grasshoppers instead of giants. We think of ourselves as servants instead of sons. Remember the story of the prodigal boy? Yeah? In the pig pen, his mentality was what? My father has a big mansion. My father is a great king. But I will go back. I'm unworthy. I will go back to be one of his hired servants. And many of us think this way. We are unworthy to be God's son anymore because we messed up. Pastor, he's lost. He's lost. So what? A lost son is still a son. The moment the prodigal son returned, what did the father did for him? He brought out the best ring, which is a symbol of sonship, the symbol of authority. He gave him the best possession, the best robe, the best food, because to his father, he may be lost, but he's always a son. And he treated him 100% like a son. Friends, I'm here to declare to you, you got to be kingly because you're sons and daughters of God. Come on, give God a big clap. Oh, you're happy about it? Give the Lord a big hand. He's a wonderful father. God gave man a lease agreement over the earth, a lease agreement. Because he's still the real owner. But he gave man the license to rule. He gave man the lease agreement with the power attorney to act and speak and have dominion on his behalf. So that was a lease agreement. Now, in that lease agreement, the authority is so complete, God himself will not violate it. God is sovereign. He's almighty. But once the king of the universe says something, it becomes law. Once he says it, it's a law. He's the king. That's how the kingdom of God works. It cannot be changed. So the moment God said, let them have dominion, he effectively locked himself out of this earth. His integrity will never permit him to break his word. So when Adam sinned, he signed over the whole lease agreement to Satan the devil. Nothing God can do about it, because God gave him the license agreement already. God gave him the lease agreement already. So that is why Satan could say and boast to Jesus. In Luke chapter 4, look over here. The devil, verse 5, taking him, Jesus, up on the high mountain, show him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment in time. And the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me. You see that? And I can give to whomever I wish. God is still the legal owner. But man has signed it over to Satan the devil in the Garden of Eden. So for now, Satan the devil has full control of the lease agreement. The rulers that God has installed has become the ruled. The victors have become the victim. The sons have become the oppressed. They have become the subjects. The kings and the lords have become his slaves. That is why God cannot stop the fall of man, not because he doesn't care or he's weak or he's powerless, but because he's faithful to his word. If God can break his word, then his word doesn't mean anything anymore. Once he gave man authority, he effectively relinquished control. And that is also why today, God cannot do anything in this earth, in our generation, in our city, in our nation, in our world, without the cooperation of a man or a woman. God can't. That is why you read the Bible. Before God can do anything, what the Bible says, he looked for a man who will stand again. Before he can do anything, his eyes are running through to and back and forth the earth, looking for one man, one woman, whose heart is totally loyal and committed to him, and only then can he show himself strong. See, God can only legally move in the world through us. And the way we give him permission to move is through our prayers. It's through our prayers. That's the reason why every single week when we come together, I get you guys to pray so much, because that's the only way God can find a legal reason to move in our lives. That is why prayer is so important, because we give God permission to move. Matthew chapter 18, Jesus himself says this, "I tell you the truth, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven." How? By our prayers. "And whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven." How? By your prayers. "Again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree on anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven." How? By your prayers. Can you see God is waiting? God, your Father, is waiting to move in your family, in your career, in your ministry, in your life. He's just waiting for somebody to pray. Oh, you want to clap? Go ahead and give God a big hand. Hallelujah. You know what that means? If something we want to see on earth is not happening, it's often because we are not allowing it to happen. If you want to see a miracle in your family and it's not happening, very often, it's because you have not allowed it to happen. God can do anything, but because he has given us the lease agreement, he can only release on earth what we allow. That is why Augustine said this, "With God, we cannot. Without God, we cannot. Without us, God will not." Right? Without God, we can't. But without us, God won't. Because of this, you have a very important part to play in God's kingdom plan. And I'm very excited about what the young people are doing with the passion thing. But I'm also very excited with what the marketplace owners are doing with their ministry. Because everything that we want to see happen, that God wants to see happen, he needs you and I to step up and say, "Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven." Come on, give God a big hand. Hallelujah. So having said all this, this is not my main sermon. But having said all this, how then shall we live? How then should we function? You know, what were Jesus' first words in the very first sermon he has ever preached? Mark chapter 1, verse 15. And here is Jesus saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand." That means the kingdom of God has arrived. It's near you. It's near you. It is here and he wants to come in. "Repent and believe the gospel." Everybody say, "Repent and believe in the gospel." Five times louder. "Repent and believe in the gospel." First thing he said was, "Repent." Repent. Now, repentance is not just an outpouring of emotion when you say the sinner's prayer. Now, that is only a small part of it, but that's not all there is to it. The word repentance, it means, you know, a total change of thinking resulting in a total change of our action. A total change. A change of the way you think. A total transformation in how you see yourself, how you see God, how you see your life, how you see your future and your destiny, resulting in a total way of change in the way you live your life. So repentance is not just getting a fire insurance so that you won't go to hell. How do you repent? Repent and believe in the gospel. So the key is the word of God. We're talking about the gospel of the kingdom, right? The king and his rule, his reign, his realm, his righteousness. So it's the word. "They that know their God shall be strong and shall do mighty exploits." Satan hates the word, hates this book, because he has no defense against it. He has no power against the word of God. Satan's kingdom is called the kingdom of darkness because it's a kingdom of ignorance. When you are in the dark, you can't see. When you're dark, you stumble. You're ignorant. So what must we ensure? What must we guard against? Please, City Harvest Church, don't become a kingdom of ignorant kings. Yeah, you're excited. You're happy with slogans. But you don't know what the Word of God says. Yeah? Ignorant of your identity, your inheritance. Ignorant of your sonship. Ignorant of the power and the authority that you have as a child of the Most High God. Our greatest enemy, your greatest enemy, is not sin, it's not Satan. Jesus dealt with them both, sin and the devil, at the cross. Your biggest enemy today is ignorance. And that is why God says, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. You don't know what the Bible says. And that's why this series is so important. You got to know. You got to know you are kings. You are lords. Don't behave otherwise. You got to know God cannot move unless you give him permission. Not because he's unable, but because he's a God of his word. All right. I'll give you an example. And this is my main message tonight. So turn to your neighbor and say, he's finally getting his main message. Yeah. In the beginning, Adam and Eve never needed to worry about working for food or working for survival. They never needed to worry about what's happening with the world economy, right? God provided all their needs. Who can say amen?
Amen, yeah.
All that changed the moment they sinned and they broke fellowship with God. As long as they're walking with God, open fellowship with God, you never read the Bible and they're worried. How are we going to get our salary? Will we have our bonus this week? They're worried, you know, how are we going to have food on the table? Do we have enough to buy milk powder? They never needed to worry because God provided. But now, as sinful men and women, everything people did or are doing are motivated by fear and by worry. Everything we are doing are driven by personal need and personal greed. Dr. Abraham Maslow, most of you here would know his name. You learned that in school. He said, very interesting, the four most urgent basic needs in the world are food, water, drinks, and clothing. Right? Let me say that. Food, water, drinks is water. Food, water, clothing, housing. And in that particular order, four most urgent need. Food, water, clothing, and housing. That's what he learned and discovered. And if they are not met, Maslow said, nothing else matters to us. Those are the four most important. But these are the values of the world. These are the priorities of the kingdom of this world. The whole world is fixated. What we eat, what we drink, our clothing, what kind of house we live in. But you know, Jesus tells us the kingdom of God is totally the opposite. Totally the opposite. Matthew chapter 6, all right? We're talking about the kingdom of God here. It says in verse 24, can we all read this verse together so I don't just hear my voice tonight? Let's all read together starting now. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So Jesus makes it very clear. When you read the gospel, Jesus talked about the kingdom of darkness, but he hardly identified, apart from Satan the devil, he hardly identified any principalities and powers. But here was one principality he identified. He said, there are two masters. There's God and there's mammon. Now, God is a spirit. So, to be consistent, mammon must also be a spirit. In fact, he is. He's a demon spirit. Mammon is a demonic principality behind the love and greed for money, behind the greed for possession. It is the spirit of materialism. Really, in a nutshell, it is the spirit of the world. So what is the spirit of the world? Mammon. Jesus identified it for us. Now, then he describes how this spirit of mammon actually moved people. So he says in verse 25, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life." So mammon make you worry about your survival. How much you make, how are you going to make a living? What you eat or what you drink, nor about your body, what will you put on? It's not life more than food and the body more than clothing. Now, what did Maslow say? Every human being is worried about four things. Food, drinks, clothing, and housing. Jesus already said 2,000 years ago. He only found out the last few years. Jesus already said it 2,000 years ago, right? Verse 30. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry. Don't worry. Church, don't worry. Do not worry. City Harvest Church, do not worry. Young people, do not worry. Business owners, do not worry. Mom, dad, don't worry. Jesus says, do not worry. That is what mammon wants you to do. Worry. Do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For after all these things, the Gentiles seek. That is what's important out there among the sinners, among the non-Christians. This is the priority of the world, the mindset of a lost world without Jesus. Toiling after basic necessities. Toiling after how we're going to pay the milk powder. How we're going to buy rice. Do we have money to pay rent? Struggling to acquire things. Trying to get the good life. I mean, this is the spirit of the world. Working hard for food, drinks, for clothing, for money, for cars, for houses, watches, jewelries, luxury items. God is not saying they are bad or they are wrong or they are evil or that they are not for you. God is not saying that and pastor is not saying that. All right? Because Jesus himself says, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. You need to have a car. You need to have a house. Nothing wrong to have a nice bag. Although I don't use one, thank God. Nothing wrong to wear nice shoes. Nothing wrong to live in a nice house. God knows you have need for all these things. But Jesus gave us one of the greatest scriptures in the whole Bible. The one of the greatest scriptures is in verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I want to stop there for a moment. And I want to make an announcement to you. Today is a red letter day. Today is a day you got to mark down in your calendar. Because today is a day that your life will have a shift. Now, in our church, there are three things that we all is so in our DNA. We are known all around the world for this. The Great Commandment, the Great Commission, the Cultural Mandate. When you use this phrase, especially this three, you have people that talk about Great Commandment. You have people talk a lot about Great Commission. You have Great Commandment, Great Commission. Culture, City Harvest Church. Today is a red letter day because pastor, for the first time in 28 years, is going to introduce to you a fourth concept that you will forever be known around the world. It is called the divine priority. Matthew 6:33. Everybody say the divine priority. Turn to your neighbor and say, your life is about to get changed. Yeah, amen. This is our first priority. The most important activity of our entire lives. This is the most important activity of my life, son's life, your life, to seek the kingdom of God. And church, it is not a suggestion. It's a divine command from King Jesus himself, right? To seek is to pursue with fervency, with determination. Not giving up until you find it. Not giving up until you experience it, until you touch it, you taste it. Okay? You must seek the King. You must seek His rule, His reign, His realm, His righteousness. You must seek His power, because you can't be a king without power. You must seek His authority. Verse 33, but seek first. Seek first. Seek first. First. Seek first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness. Now, make the kingdom of God your highest priority, such that all other priorities are so far below that they are pale by any comparison. They're almost non-existent. Non-existent by any comparison. Now understand this. Seeking the kingdom first is not seeking it first among many. It is to seek Him first and only. I'll give you an example. The Bible tells us this, and we all know that God told the Israelites, He told Moses, He told the Israelites, you shall have no other gods before me. God is not saying, oh, you can worship, as long as you worship me first, and you love me first, you can have as many gods as you want. Just make me first. I'm happy as long as you give me first place. You know, all the other gods, you can keep them, but just love me more. I'm happy. Is that what God is saying? No. You worship God first and only. You have no other gods. The divine priority is just as exclusive. We seek God. We focus on God. We pursue God as first and only. Because the kingdom of God and His righteousness is so great. It is so vast. When you pursue it, it will fill you to your total capacity. There is no more room in your heart, in your mind, in your soul, in your strength for anything else. It will fill you. It will fill you to the fullest capacity. Allowing the King to rule and reign demands all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, all our strength, in all our undivided loyalty. It demands our all. In every decision we make, we must always consider the kingdom of God. Is it in line with His rule, His reign, His realm? Is it in line with His righteousness, the way He's doing things? Is it in line? Where do we go to school? What course do we study? Is it in line with the King, His rule, His reign, His realm, His righteousness? The way He's doing things. What job you accept, is it in line with the King, His rule, His reign, His realm, His righteousness? The way He's doing things. Who you date, who you marry, how you spend your money, what you spend it on. You got to constantly ask yourself, will this be pleasing to the kingdom of God? Is this in line with His righteousness, His way of doing things? It's always kingdom first. Kingdom first. Kingdom first. It's always the King and His domain. In all your relationships. In all your family matters. In all your leisure. The goals that you set. The ambition. Your purpose. Your drive. Always kingdom first. Kingdom first. Kingdom first. The King. His rule. His reign. His realm. His righteousness. His way of doing things. His rule, His reign, His realm, His righteousness, His way of doing things. Is it in line? God, is it in line? Now, if you do that, there is a promise. There's a guarantee. It says in verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Now, backtrack a little bit. Backtrack. What is the context of what Jesus Christ is talking about? He's telling us, don't imbibe the spirit of mammon. Don't get possessed by mammon in your thinking, in your feelings, in your life, right? I have to make a living. I got to try to survive. You know, I got to acquire more things. I'm aiming for the good life. I'm trying to make a better life for my family. Jesus is saying, keep that in mind. This is the context. So he says, repent from all that. Repent from this thinking. I got to survive. I got to try and make a living. I got to have a better life. Have a complete change in your focus. Have a complete change in your mindset. Don't live by the world's hierarchy of needs. Live by the principles and priority of the King. In your job, don't just work for your salary, your commission, your dividends, your bonuses. Work for the kingdom of God and work for His righteousness. Don't worry. Don't worry. All these things that you need, God is going to give it to you. They will be given, guaranteed. He promised. All the food, all the drinks, the clothing you want, all the money you need, the cars, the house, all the things the world desires, including the luxury item, if that's good for you, He's going to guarantee He give it to you. He will. All these things that the world wants, He's going to give it to you. God will bless you, but your motivation got to be correct. You don't work for them. You don't worry for them. You don't worry for your Hermes bag. You don't work for your, you don't work for your Maserati. You don't work, for all these. You don't live for them. You do your work diligently, but you put your priority in the kingdom of God and His righteousness. God will supply all these things freely and generously to you. But your motivation got to be right. Oh, come on, go ahead and praise God. So, brothers and sisters, tonight, let me ask you, are you living by the spirit of mammon or by the spirit of God? Jesus says they are mutually exclusive. That means you cannot have both. You know, one part of my heart, Holy Spirit, another part of my heart, my survival and my house, my car, it just doesn't work that way. There's only room in your heart, in your mind, in your soul for one, not for both. He says, backtrack, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Church, this is the gospel of the kingdom. So Jesus explains. He explains. Okay? One day, he and his disciples were walking. Let's go to Luke chapter 9. You have three pairs of double verses. Three pairs. It says in verse 57, now it happened as they journey on the road that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. Sounds like the song, I will follow you. Follow you wherever you go. I will follow you. You know, so often we make promises and commitments without counting the cost. And then when we can't keep them, we feel bad, discouraged, we feel lousy, we feel condemned. We don't follow Jesus anymore. Shouldn't have made those silly commitments. This is one such guy. Yeah? Now, can't blame him. He's enthusiastic. Right? Very, very sincere. Lord, I'm going to follow you. So Jesus said to him, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests. Son of man has nowhere to lay his head. In other words, he's saying this, seeking the kingdom of God first, seeking first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness will give you the most fulfilling, exciting, rewarding, blessed life ever. But there is a cost to it. There is a cost to it. The cost sometimes is great. There will be hardships. There will be inconveniences. You can even lose your home. You can even lose your home. You can become homeless. That's what he's trying to say. Are you ready to give up the comfort of your house and the security of your home and seek the kingdom first? If you can strip yourself of everything for the sake of the King and His righteousness, you will live the greatest life ever, the most exciting life ever, and the most blessed life ever, eventually. Well, the Bible didn't tell us, but this guy walked away. Then he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Now, Jesus called this second guy. The first one volunteered. This second guy, hey, you follow. Wow, this young man must really, really had a lot of potential. A lot of potential. Jesus called him. I think you should follow me. I think you should come to the inner circle. We can do great things together. But his father was still alive. His feeling for Jesus was not sorted out yet. So he said, Lord, I have family obligations. You know, Jesus, I have moral obligations and social obligations and cultural obligations. Let me wait until my father is dead. Then I'll follow you. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. Now look, the fifth commandment is to honor your father and your mother. And Jesus, the living word, will never contradict the written word. In fact, Jesus himself said, the scripture cannot be broken. That means God will never ask you to do anything that will contradict the scripture. So he says, you honor your father and mother, he will never tell you, don't honor them. He won't. But what he's trying to say here is this, the kingdom of God must be of such high priority. It is the most important thing in your life, more important than your family and your friends and your social obligations and moral obligations. But if you can trust the King and seek his kingdom first and his righteousness, the King himself will take the best care of your family more than you can take care of them yourself. The question is, can you trust the King? Can you trust your Heavenly Father that he will never ask you to do anything that eventually will destroy your family? Can you trust him enough? Look, verse 61, another also said, Lord, I will follow you. But first, let me go and bid them farewell who are at my house. Now, this third man volunteered to follow Jesus. But maybe because of peer pressure, everyone in the cell group's doing it. You know, everyone's sign up. Oh Lord, I want to follow you. I follow. Is Jimmy, John, Peter doing? Oh, I follow. They sign up. I also go. Yeah. He said, Lord, I want to follow you. Yeah. Seems like a good thing to do. But he wanted to follow Jesus Christ on his own terms because he wasn't very willing. He kept thinking, all the sacrifices he had to make, he kept thinking, man, following Jesus, I keep on missing this. And Jesus saw his heart. So Jesus said this, verse 62. He says, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. So this man's heart was divided. He wanted to follow Jesus, but he's always looking back. Man, all the fun thing I can do, my girlfriend, my job. He's always looking back at all that he got to leave behind. Now, notice both the second and third man, they say, Lord, we want to follow you, but first. Lord, but first. Friends, that itself is an oxymoron. Because the word Lord means supreme owner. So he either owns you or he doesn't. Does he own you? Does he own me? He either owns me or he doesn't. If he's Lord, there's no but first. If he's Lord, it's yes. Lord, yes. Yes, Lord. Lord, yes. Yes, Lord. Not Lord, but first. One last story. One day, a wealthy young man, he's called the rich young ruler, full of influence, full of capacity, potential. If he's Singaporean, he will be easily a president scholar or a PSC scholar. I mean, he's super smart, super successful, super, super duper everything. Luke chapter 18, it says in verse 18, Now, a certain ruler asked him, saying, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" It's the same as asking, how do I enter the kingdom of God? Now, verse 20, Jesus says, "You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother." So don't feel that Jesus is asking you to not to honor them. He says, this is what you need to do. Honor your father and mother. Verse 21, he said, "All these things I kept from my youth." By all standards, this leader was an exemplary young man. Spotless. Since childhood, he was upright. He was exemplary, model, you know, very devout, religious in all his behavior. And by the world standard, ultra successful. Super smart. I mean, earned so much money as a young man. Very wealthy. But the man's heart was divided. He's trying to serve God, but also he wanted to serve money. The kingdom of God was not his only priority. He was very focused on accumulating wealth, on being successful, on achieving status. Maybe he told himself, if I'm rich, successful, I can shine for God. If I have position and people will look at me, I can be a good testimony. So he's very focused on success, on status, on fame, and definitely on wealth. So Jesus heard these things, verse 22. He said to him, "You still lack one thing. Sell all that you have, distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Come, follow me." Now, if God is the king, then everything belongs to him, right? If he's the king. Correct? I mean, there can be only one answer. Yes. So let me ask you again. So try your best to be a little bit intelligent. If God is the king, everything belongs to him, right? Wow. You guys are so smart. If everything belongs to him, then it's very easy to give up your wealth. Because it's his to begin with. It's not yours. As long as you believe, you own your car, you own your house, you own your clothes, you own your watches, your jewelry. After all, you paid for them with your own money, earned from your own job. It is yours. Then he's not your king. He's not. If God cannot ask or take anything from us anytime he wants, without us putting up a fight and a struggle, then he's not our Lord. He's not mine, and he's not yours, no matter what we claim. If God is your king, and he's a good king, then surely he will take the best care of you, right? He will take the best care of me if he's my king, especially when we are his own son and his own daughter. We are prince. Oh, I'm a prince. You are a princess. If we are his own son and daughter, surely he will take the best care of us. You see, I mean, there could be a lot of kids, but I can tell you this, son and I will take the best care of Dayan. Hands down, no question asked, because he's our son. If that is the case, then whatever you surrender to him will surely only be temporary, because he will surely bless you back. If you can believe that. So the question here tonight is, can you believe? Can you believe? This young man can't. He couldn't. He couldn't believe God is that good a king. So in verse 23, when he heard this, he became very sorrowful, for he was very rich. So when it came down to a choice, this rich young ruler chose wealth. He was unwilling to surrender his earthly treasure in exchange for the treasure in heaven. He was bound by the spirit of mammon. He failed the test of divine priority. He failed this test. Look, you heard Pastor say this before. God is not against you having money. He's against money having you. Yeah? He wants us to be in the world, but not of the world. We are in the world, But we don't imbibe the spirit of mammon. You see, what's possessing your heart tonight? What's possessing your mind? What's possessing your soul? What are you giving your strength to in your life? Is it the spirit of God? Or is it the spirit of mammon? So verse 24, when Jesus saw that, he became very sorrowful. He said, how hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. In the Gospel of Mark, it's clearer. It says, how hard it is for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God. Jesus wanted this rich young ruler to experience the kingdom, to touch the kingdom, to taste the kingdom. Because it's the most fulfilling life you could ever live, the most blessed, the most rewarding life possible. But he trusted in riches. It says in verse 25, for it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Now, those who heard it say, who then can be saved? So that tells you one thing. Not all his disciples were poor. Because now they got scared. If a rich man cannot go, what about us? Because not all of them are not successful. Peter had a fishing business, you know? But he said, verse 27, the things which are impossible with man are possible with God. Then Peter said, see, we have left all and followed you. So this was Peter's not so subtle way of saying, Lord, we have given up everything for you. What's in it for us? What's in it for us? We give up all to follow you. Listen, Jesus said to them, assuredly, I say to you. Now, the old King James said, verily, verily, I say to you. Whenever you read Jesus saying assuredly or verily, verily, that means I promise you, I guarantee you. This is a guarantee. There is no one who have left house or parents or brothers or wife or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who will not receive many times more in this present time and in the age to come, eternal life. Come on, give God a big clap. Oh, go ahead and praise God. Hallelujah. You know what Jesus is saying? No one who gives up everything for the kingdom will lose anything. Because you'll receive many, many times more in this lifetime. In this lifetime, while you're still breathing and alive, not to mention eternal life in the age to come. Nothing you give up for the kingdom of God will be lost. Nothing. God will bless you back so much, much more. See, if your life priority is just to have a nice house, a nice car, nice clothes, nice watches, nice jewelry, and money to travel around the world and spend it with your family, then you will live day in, day out, every single day for that house and all the mortgage, all the debts and the loan that will come with them. Now, listen, it's nothing wrong generally. And God may let you have them. God may let you have, and I know in this church, I've been a pastor 28 years, you started with nothing, now you have a nice house, you have two cars, you're getting a third one, you have nice watches, jewelry, you're going for holidays, great. But you could miss the fullness of what God has purposed for your life. But if you give up the priority of your house and your car and your jewelries and the rest of the stuff and seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness first, not only will you have a house, Jesus promised you will have many houses in this lifetime if you can trust him and believe him. Nothing you give up, you will lose while you're alive. I'm not talking about when you get heaven. Remember, your destiny is not heaven. Your destiny is here. You will inherit the earth. Can you see this? One more time. What is the divine priority? Let's all read together, everybody in this room. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Everything that the world desires will be added to you. The kingdom of God is totally different from the kingdom of this world. The kingdom of this world is ruled by Satan the devil and permeated by the spirit of mammon. Every single day, Satan the devil wants you to worry, wants you to be fearful, so that you will struggle for your survival, your toil for your survival, until you're worn out, you're burned out, until you have no time for God, and your destiny becomes so obscure. At one time when you were younger, yeah, oh God, I want to serve you. And now you're like the hamster on the treadmill, and the devil just up the speed. You're so worn out. You don't even have time to read the Bible. You don't even have time to pray. Satan makes you his slave. Satan makes you his prisoner, subject of his oppression. And he keeps you ignorant of who you are. He keeps you ignorant of your identity, your inheritance, of your rights and the power and authority you have in Jesus Christ. But Jesus came to change all that. He came to bring you back to your Creator, your Heavenly Father, who is the King of the universe. And He wants to renew your mind so that you think and act and behave like a king, kingly in your confidence, a king who serves. And through you, God wants to do mighty things in your generation. But like Jesus, you must be able to say that the ruler of this world, the spirit of this world has come, and he has nothing in me. He has absolutely nothing in me. I'm not moved by the spirit of mammon. I live by the divine priority. The kingdom of God is my first priority. The king, his rule, his reign, his righteousness, his realm, the way he does things. Food, drinks, clothing, cars, houses, watches, jewelry, luxury items, holidays, vacation. I don't work for all these things. I don't worry over them. I don't live for them. I live solely for the King. And I know I will not lose out because my King will take the best care of me. That is what the kingdom of God is all about. Singers, musicians, come up right now. Oh, hallelujah. Let's all stand on our feet tonight. I tell you, the presence of the King is here. His power, His authority is here tonight. Let's just lift our hands, begin to speak in tongues right now. Come on, everybody in this room. Come on, from the front to the back, from the left to the right. You serve the King of the universe. You serve the King of all power, all authority. You serve a King where every demon power must bow. You don't serve the spirit of mammon. You don't serve the devil in the world. You don't live for all those things. God is able to take the better care of you than any company in the world, than any career in the world. Come on, let's talk in tongues, all of this room right now. Come on, just bring in pray just a little bit more. Jesus, we seek first your kingdom, the kingdom of God and all your righteousness, your rule, your reign, your realm, the way you do things.
Leads me to repentance. Your goodness draws me to your side. Your mercy calls me to be like you. Your favor is my delight. Every day my praise for our song from my heart. You are good. You are
brothers, sisters. God wants us to live by the divine priority. It will be the most exciting, the most fulfilling. It will be an adventure of a lifetime. It will be the most blessed life. You know what? I'm living the most blessed life right now. Are there challenges? Yes. Are there difficulties? Could be. But you are guaranteed of the blessing, the authority, the power of the gospel of the kingdom. You know what? We are seeing in our church people getting healed of cancer like never before. We are seeing demons having to go by the very decree of our mouth. There's a power, there's authority. Because we are living by the divine priority. Listen, I want to encourage those of you who are in full-time ministry and you serve God so many years. Some of you cell group leaders and you serve, you put God first. And sometimes the devil says, see, you put everything first. You put everything on the line. What do you have to show for? Jesus will not fail you. Just like Jesus will not fail me. Verily, verily, assuredly, I say to you, all these things will be added to us. All these things will be added to us. If only we can believe long enough in our lifetime.
Your mercy is forever. Your goodness is forever. Your mercy is forever. Forever. Your kindness is forever. Your goodness is forever. Your mercy is forever. Forever. You are good.
Fears in your life, and you're worried for your family, you're worried about your job, you're worried about the economy. Listen, all of us worry all the time. Let me tell you this afternoon on the way here, you know, on the way here, just about like 3 plus, suddenly, bam, I got hit. The devil just hit me so hard, so hard. I just felt momentarily immobilized, and I could hear the voice of the devil saying stuff into my mind. And I just got to encourage myself and resist it. I said, God, tonight I'm going to preach your message. Tonight I'm not going to worry.
Amen.
For my family. I'm not going to fear for my church. Tonight I'm not. I'm going to preach your word. Listen, what I'm trying to say is this. It affects all of us. It affects all of us. That is why we need intercessors. That's why we need one another. That's why the Bible says, I'm glad when I come to the house of the Lord. We need one another. How many of you here tonight? I want every eye to close and every head to bow. There are areas of worries in your life. Tonight, let's just come and just give it to the Lord right now. Tonight, let's just come and just give it totally to the Lord. No worry, no fear. That is the spirit of mammon. We are not going to worry about our job. We are not going to worry about the food. We are not going to worry about the drink, the clothing. We are not going to worry about mortgage, about our house, our car. We are not going to worry about, you know, money. We are not going to worry about luxury items. We are not going to worry about our family, all those. God said, I'll take good care. I'm your king. I'm your father. You are my son, my daughter, my prince, my princess. I love you. You seek me first. And all my righteousness, my rule, my reign, my realm, the way I do things, all these things will be added to you. All the blessings that you want, I give it to you freely. I will bless you freely. Fear not my children. Fear not my sons, my daughters. Fear not my kings. Fear not my lords. I am the King of kings. I am the Lord of lords. I will bless you. I will help you. Hallelujah. How many of you tonight, you say, Pastor, that's me. I have worries, I have fears, I have anxieties, I have panic attacks. Some nights I cannot sleep. Some nights I got struggles. Some nights I just cannot focus. But this night, right here, right now, I make a decision.
I'm going to live by the divine priority. I'm going to put my faith fully on the Lord Jesus Christ. No more panic, no more fearful. I trust God. I trust His word. He is my wonderful Father. I'm His child. I'm in the apple of His eye. God will surely take care of me. How many of you here tonight? You say, Pastor, that's me. I got worries. I got fears. But I don't want anymore. I don't want. You know, I got attacked by worry this afternoon. But you say, I know. I will fear not. I will seek God. I will seek first His kingdom. I will seek His righteousness first. If that's you, when I count to three, just lift up your hands. One, two, three. Lift up your hands all in this room right now. Everybody speak in tongues. Shodori ala karabaha dari ala karabaha dari ala. Shodori ala karabaha dari 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 ala. Shodori ala karabaha dari ala karabaha dari ala karabaha dari ala karabaha dari ala. Shodori ala karabaha dari 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 ala. Just pray
through.
When we pray, we're giving permission to God to move. We're giving permission to God to move. Pray. Push the thing away in the name of Jesus. The divine push of God in the name of Jesus. Everybody just say this out loud together with me right now. Everybody say, in the name of Jesus Christ.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
I make a decision tonight.
I make a decision tonight.
To seek first the kingdom of God.
To seek first the kingdom of God.
Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
Your kingdom come.
Your kingdom come.
Your will be done.
Your will be done.
In my life.
In my life.
In my family.
In my family.
In this lifetime.
In this lifetime.
Here on earth.
Here on earth.
As it is in heaven.
As it is in heaven.
I surrender my wealth.
I surrender my wealth.
I surrender my health.
I surrender my health.
Everything I care about.
Everything that I care about.
I surrender all to you.
I surrender it all to you.
I seek your rule.
I seek your rule.
Your reign.
Your reign.
Your righteousness.
Your righteousness.
Your purpose for my life.
Your purpose for my life.
I believe.
I believe.
Everything I need.
Everything I need.
Will be added to me.
Will be added.
Will you just pray and just trust God tonight? Shodori ala karabaha dari ala karabaha dari ala karabaha dari ala. Shodori ala karabaha dari ala karabaha dari ala. Spirit of the world, spirit of mammon, I bind you tonight in the name of Jesus. Spirit of fear, go in the name of Jesus Christ. Spirit of fear, go in the name of the Lord Jesus. Shodori ala karabaha dari ala. Listen. Spirit of this world, it's a spirit of mammon. Tonight, Jesus wants us to come against it. I just sense we got to come against this thing. The spirit of the world has no part in us. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. So let's join hands with our neighbors right now. Okay, let's just declare, let's proclaim it right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, shoduri ala karabaha dari 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 ala karabaha dari. Shoduri ala kar, Father, in the name of Jesus, I come against the spirit of this world. I come against the spirit of mammon. I come against the spirit of fear and worry. Shoduri ala karabaha dari ala. Father, the spirit behind all the wrong priorities. Spirit of toiling and struggling, I bind you right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Shuduri ala karabahadari ala karabahari ala karabahari ala karabahari. Everybody, just declare it tonight. Say, Father, as I seek you.
Father, as I seek you.
As my King.
As my King.
I declare and decree.
I declare and decree.
I will walk in good health.
I will walk in good health.
No sickness in my body.
No sickness in my body.
All my needs are met.
All my needs are met.
The money will come.
The money will come.
The breakthrough will come.
The breakthrough will come.
My family is blessed.
My family is blessed.
My life is blessed.
My life is blessed.
The joy of the Lord is my strength.
The joy of the Lord is my strength.
Will you pray for our neighbors on your left and your right? Shadari ala karabaha dari ala karabaha dari ala karabaha dari ala karabaha dari. Shodori ala karabaha dari 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 ala karabaha. Father, in the name of Jesus, keep on praying. In the name of Jesus, Spirit of fear, go, go. You can stay. Go in the name of Jesus. Father, I come against every curse of failure, every witchcraft that be spoken over our members, every curse in the name of Jesus tonight be broken. The spirit of mammon, the spirit of this world, we bind you right now. We bind you right now in the name of Jesus. We live for God. We live for God. I pray for the Spirit of God. I pray for the Holy Spirit to come tonight, the spirit of faith. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus.
Oh, your kindness is forever. Your goodness is forever. Your mercy is forever, forever. Your kindness is forever. Your goodness is forever. Your mercy is forever, forever. You are good. You are good. You are good. Your mercy is forever. You are good. You are good. You are good. Your mercy is forever.
Right now, I want you to just close your eyes. I want you to just open up your hearts. Ask the Lord, God, what the areas need to rule and reign? What areas you need to let His kingship come into your heart? Tonight you rejected the spirit of mammon, the spirit of this world. But that's the negative. The positive thing is, tonight, how will you experience the kingdom of God? Let Him rule and reign over your thoughts. Let Him rule and reign over your emotions. Let Him rule and reign over every relationship, every partnership. You know God has a certain way of doing things. You know the Word. Let Him have His way. How many of you tonight, you want Him to have His way in your life? Just lift up your hands right now. Oh, just begin to lift up both hands. Just tell Him right now, Lord, have Your way in me. Have Your way in me. Lord, have Your way in me. Be the king of my relationship. Be the king of my job. Be the king of my time. Be the king of my cell group. Be the king of my ministry. Come and rule and reign over my words. Come and rule and reign over my emotions. Come and rule and reign over my thoughts. Come and rule and reign over my leisure, my hobby. Come and rule and reign in my life, oh God. Come and rule and reign in my ministry. Let me demonstrate the kingdom of God. Let me demonstrate the power and the presence of the King. Let me demonstrate the authority of the King. Let me demonstrate the inheritance of the King. Let me demonstrate You, Heavenly Father. Let me show You off to my world. The good King, the good God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Every day I wake my praise, pour out a song from my heart.
Kings and Lord of Lords. Be the king of our home, be the king of every cell group, be the king of every ministry, be the king of every business, be the king of every department, be the king of our lives, be the king of our strength, be the king of all our thoughts, be the king of all our feelings, be the king of our hearts. King of kings and Lord of lords, we are your kings, we are your lords. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, signs, wonders, and miracles. Every unclean spirit cannot stay in our lives. Every unclean spirit, every curse is broken. Every defeat is turned around. In the mighty name of the Lord, every sickness, go and leave our bodies right now. Because the King is present. Every fear, go in the name of Jesus. Every failure is turned around in the name of the Lord Jesus. Shigarabahara, Satan, you're under our feet in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, we declare King of our finances, King of our business, King of every investment, King of every area of our life. You reign, you rule and you reign. So Father, we thank you tonight. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your word. Last thing before we go, before we are dismissed, ask him right now, King Jesus. As the children of the King, what do you want us to do? What do you want me to do? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. What do you want me to do? Why don't we all say this? Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
What do you want me to do?
What do you want me to do?
How do you want me to live?
How do you want me to live?
This day.
This day.
This week.
This week.
I submit to you.
I submit to you.
Just talk in tongues for a moment. Let him speak to you tonight.
Shigiriya.
Oh, Shuduriya la karabaha teriya la karabaha teriya la karabaha teriya la karabaha teriya. Shuduriya la karabaha teriya la karabaha teriya la karabaha. Shuduriya bara 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 karabaha teriya. Jesus, we are a church of kings, servant kings, kings that serve. You are the King of kings and Lord of lords. Help every one of us to walk in kingly authority this week. Their kingly confidence. Help us to bring your kingdom purpose in our lives. Let us be the channel. Lord, we say, look no further. You have found your people. We are the men and the women that will stand the gap. We are the men and women whose heart is 100% loyal to you. Come and show yourself strong on our behalf. Come and move in this world. We are the vessels you can flow through. So this week will be a victorious week for every single member. Every one of us will be victorious. This week will be a week where your kingdom will flow through us. This week we'll experience your power and your authority. This week we'll experience your blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone say amen. Come on, let's give God a big clap. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. This week will be a week of victory. A week of victory in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. How many kings do we have here tonight? How many lords do we have here tonight? How many of you worship him as the King of kings and the Lord of lords? Come on, let's give him a big clap tonight. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. Everybody say divine priority.
Divine priority.
So add that to Great Commandment, Great Commission culture mandate. Before you go tonight, tell your neighbors on your left and right and say, from tonight, you'll live by divine priority. Will you do that right now?
We hope you've been blessed by the message. If you have a testimony to share, write to us at connect@chc.org.sg.